Fred Stamps, who is back in Edmonton. Fred, how you doing, man? Good to talk to you again.
Oh, good to talk to you guys, man. I'm pretty good.
Well, I noticed, man, you got the beard rocking out pretty well right now.
Yeah, I got the beard going, man. It's pretty cool, man.
So, it's been 4 years since you retired. What have you been up to?
Just relaxing, being with the family, just taking care of boys and wife, man.
So, are you working?
Yes.
What are you doing?
I have we do transportation down in Texas, help the kids that's misfortunate, homeless shelters and
okay.
kids that's in foster care and stuff like that.
Okay, awesome. And your kids themselves, now, are you involved in, like, coaching amateur football or anything like that?
No amateur football, man. I get out every now and then and help some high school guys out
okay.
with some football and stuff like that. That's about it.
Oh, okay. So, Fred, I want to talk about when you came to the Edmonton Eskimos, what was your expectation that first training camp when you strolled in and saw Ricky Ray as your quarterback?
I didn't have any expectations, man, but when I got a chance to see Ricky Ray and Jason Moss and all those guys and Jason Tucker, man, I knew there was some real football played up in Canada, man. So I knew it was time to try to get ready and, you know, try to make a team.
Now, you'd kind of been around the NFL for the previous 4 years, from 2004 to 2007 with the Niners and the Jaguars and the Ravens and then the Jaguars again. When you came up here, it had kind of been a while since you got into every game, right? So how exciting was it to just, you know, get into some action again?
Man, it was really exciting, man. It was something that I didn't expect. But once I got up here and seen the way the CFL was ran, and the fan base and, you know, the organization in Edmonton, man, I fell in love with it right off the top, man, as soon as I was in training camp, man. And, you know, I was blessed to have an opportunity to play here for many years.
Now, you and Jason Tucker, similar types of receivers. What did you learn from him when you came in? What was the best advice he gave you to succeed as a receiver in the CFL?
Be patient, man. And, man, to believe it or not, man, I used to watch Tuck all the time, just in and out his breaks, you know, just running his routes. And, you know, he taught me a lot, man. Just sitting down and just talking to him, you know, as a young guy coming in, it was always open arms when I came in. And that made me feel so comfortable and, you know, just to kind of adapt to the game. He taught me a lot. So anything you see happen on the field, I see a lot of it came from Jason Tucker, man.
Fred Stamps joins us. He'll be in Edmonton tonight watching the Eskimos take on the Alouettes. Of course, going to officially retire as a member of the Edmonton Eskimos. And you two had very similar personalities, very you know, quiet, reserved guys off the field. Obviously, on game day, very highly competitive. But did that make it easier for you when it was a guy who had a very similar type personality for you?
You know, if you look across the board back in 2007, 2008, back in those days, man. If you look at a guy like Ricky Ray, Jason Tucker, you know, you don't really have too many guys. You know, too many loudmouth guys. You know, they lead by example, and you know, I couldn't come in and, you know, and try to be that guy unless you learn from the guy. You know what I mean? So that's kind of what how I look at it and how I went about doing things.
Fred Stamps joins us. Fred, you come in and we do have some correct answers, so I can say it. You had five consecutive seasons of 1,000 yards, right? Like, you kind of got your feet wet really in 08 when you played the 14 games, had the 50 catches for 751 yards. And then the next year, 2009, you just exploded with 1,400 yards, 85 catches, 8 touchdowns. How advantageous was the waggle for you, and how long did it take to really find out how to use it to your advantage as a slot receiver?
It took a while, but every day after practice, Ricky used to have me out working with me after practice, you know, on different routes, the corner routes and the post routes and stuff like that. So once the guys go in, you know, Ricky would have me out there working and waggling and stuff like that until I got really comfortable with it, and, you know, and that's kind of how I went about the waggle. And, you know, man, any receiver that want to play football in the CFL, I would say, man, this is the place to be. And, you know, like, the CFL is a receiver's game.
Oh, 100%. And it is such an advantage without question. But it also kind of you had to get on sync with your quarterback as well, right? Like knowing the cadence of Ricky Ray and when to use it even better.
Yes. Yeah. So every day when we practice 4 days a week, you're going to have me out on the field 4 days a week after practice in Waggle. So that's kind of how I got adapted to the Waggle.
Now, do you golf, Fred?
I try to golf a little bit. I can't say I'm too good at golfing.
Okay, so you were never out involved in those matches with Ricky Ray and the other guys?
No, I tried, I think back in 2009, but I didn't do too good.
Well, wasn't your thing? You know, outside of being a great receiver, Fred, with the Eskimos for a long, long time, you know, one of your probably worst memories, of course, was the game in Winnipeg. How I don't think I've ever talked to you about that game, but just everything that went down. How painful and B, how nerve-wracking was that game for you? And you know, the whole situation where you end up having to lose a nut.
Yeah, man, it was tough, man. It was tough. It was very uncomfortable playing in the game, but I knew that we had to do what we had to do to try to come out with the victory. But you know, that's just how the ball rolled. That's just the way it went.
Yeah. Now I know that the football locker rooms, almost any joke is allowed for the most part. Did any of your teammates, after that you were healed it up and stuff, was that somewhat of a joke in the locker room, or was that never discussed?
It was cool, man. Man, we have a pretty good when we played, man. We always had a solid locker room, man. You know, we joke around and stuff like that, but it is what it is. You know, we had fun, man. It wasn't really nothing personal or anything like that.
Who was the funniest guy in your tenure as an Eskimo?
Oh my goodness, man. We had a bunch of guys that's just. That's funny, man. We had guys like Andrew Nowacki, man, Jamaica Rector, man. We had a bunch of funny guys.
Now, were you what was your kind of like? Your personality was always just laid back, it seemed, from the outside. Was that you? And were you a quiet leader, or as you became more comfortable, did you become more of a vocal leader at any point in your time with Edmonton?
Like a vocal leader, I won't say I'm a vocal leader. Speak up when it's time to speak up. But you know, I feel like vocal leaders is for the quarterback type of guys. You know what I mean? I'm one of those players. Like, the leader of the football team should always be the head of your football team. And that's the quarterback. You know, and everyone else, you know, should kind of fall in their place. And that's kind of the way I always went about doing things.
Well, Fred, you went about things the right way for a long, long time with the Edmonton Eskimos. Congratulations on getting to retire back with the team that you came in back in 2007 and then exploded from 2009 through 2013, the most prolific receiver in the league. Great to catch up with you. We'll see you down at the game tonight.
Thank you, man. You have a good one, man.
You betcha. There's Fred Stamps.